We're going to turn to the Bible. We've been looking at Paul's little letter to Philemon. We're making our way through it little by little. And this evening we're going to be looking at verses 17 and 18. But I'm going to read from verse 8 to verse 20. Philemon, and reading from verse 8. So let's hear what God says to us in his word. And Paul says to Philemon, accordingly, though I'm bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I'm sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this, perhaps, is why he was parted for you from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all, or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of you, of your owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. So that's what Paul wrote to Philemon. And as I say this evening, I'm looking particularly at verses 17 and 18. Let me just very briefly remind you of what's happening. There was in the city of Colossae, which was in what is today Turkey, southwestern Turkey, there was in that city of Colossae a man called Philemon, and he had a slave called Onesimus. And Philemon was a Christian, and one day Onesimus ran away with his property. I think it must have been money that he ran away with. And you'll see in a moment why I say that he ran away with some property. So he ran away from Philemon, made his way to Rome. We have no idea how. And when he got to Rome, Paul was in Rome as a prisoner. And somehow they met up, and Onesimus became a Christian. And then Paul found out that Onesimus was a runaway slave, and his master was Philemon. And Paul says, well, I know Philemon there in that little town of Colossae. And so he says to Onesimus, this matter has to be put right. You've run away with his property, and we can't have this. Everything must be done in an orderly manner. This is what Paul, his principle was. He says to the church in Corinth, God is a God of order and not of chaos, and everything must be done in an orderly manner. And so he says to Onesimus, you've got to go back. You've got to go back to your master Philemon, because you've run away from him. You're going back as a Christian now, but you've got to go back, and things have to be put back into order. This is why I say every time we study this letter that the key theme of this letter is reconciliation. Onesimus and Philemon are not reconciled. They are brothers in Christ. Philemon is a Christian. Onesimus is a Christian. They are brothers in the Lord. But they're not operating as brothers because one has done wrong against another. This happens in the kingdom of God. Every child of God, that we're all brothers and sisters, but as you know, Christians fall out. And this letter reminds us again and again that when Christians do fall out, whatever happens when there's a problem between Christians, it must be put right and nothing must be allowed to get in the way of that. I've said this before, that for Onesimus to go back from Rome to Colossae was no easy matter. He would have had to travel from Rome to the nearest port, to the nearest dock where there were ships, because of course Rome is inland. And I guess he either walked or found some other way. I don't know how else they traveled, but I guess he made his way to a port somewhere in Italy, found a ship, and that ship made its way round the Mediterranean, round the Italian peninsula, and then around Greece and into southwestern Turkey. And Colossae was inland. It wasn't a coastal town. So wherever he landed, he then had to make his way to Colossae. And again, I guess he walked. So it wasn't an easy journey. But Paul says, yes, I know it's not an easy journey, but we don't allow that to get in the way. You've got to put this right. And so he sends Philemon back and he sends Onesimus back, and this is his letter to Philemon. Now, these verses 17 and 18 are at absolutely the heart of this letter. There are two reasons why Paul wrote this letter. The main reason, the most important reason, and then a secondary reason. Now, last time we looked at the secondary reason. The secondary reason was Philemon to send Onesimus back to Rome because Onesimus is so helpful to him. And we were looking at this from verses 8 to 16, and he was dropping this very, very heavy hint in verse 12. I'm sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me here in order that he might serve me on your behalf. So he says, he's so helpful to me. I wish I could keep him, but I am sending him back. And there is a hint there. Please send him back. But yes, he's going back, going forth. And you think, well, what is all this? Why send him back if you want to keep him? Because reconciliation is important. It's important that Onesimus goes back, repents, and is in a right relationship with Philemon, and then undertakes that long journey back. But Paul says it's got to be done correctly. Reconciliation has to take place. So the secondary reason is that Onesimus, that Philemon wholeheartedly sends him back. But the primary reason, why does Paul send him back? It's because he and Philemon must be reconciled. Reconciliation, absolutely essential. Now, as I say then, verses 17 and 18 are at absolutely the heart of this letter. And here we see lessons about the Bible's teaching on reconciliation. And the first thing I want us to notice is the nature of reconciliation. The nature of reconciliation. What is reconciliation? What is this all about? And this is found in verse 17. Paul says to Philemon in verse 17, so if you consider me as your partner, receive him as you would receive me. So Paul to Philemon, Philemon, imagine that I was released from prison in Rome and I decided to make a journey to Colossae to see my old friend Philemon, the man whom I led to the Lord, the man who owes his spiritual salvation, humanly speaking, to me. I mean, that's what he says, doesn't he, in the second half of verse 19, to say nothing of your owing me your own self. You owe me your own, because he says, I led you to the Lord. So he says to Philemon, imagine that I was released from prison. I, Paul, I was released from prison and I made my way to Colossae. How would you receive me, Philemon? Well, we know how Philemon would receive him. Philemon would receive him with a gentle heart. Philemon would receive him with open arms. Philemon would receive him with love and generosity and joy and thrilled and say, Paul, praise God, you were in prison and there was a possibility you would have died because people died in Roman prisons. And there was a possibility you'd have been killed. And Paul, when we heard about your imprisonment, we were so concerned. We've been praying and asking God that you might be delivered from prison. And you have been delivered. And you come to Colossae to come to me. And you can imagine Philemon giving Paul a hug and thrilled tears running down his cheeks and saying, I'm so thrilled to see you, Paul. You led me to the Lord. You're my spiritual father. We're close friends, I've prayed for you, and here you are, and I'm so filled with joy. This is how he would have received Paul. And Paul says to him, I want you to receive Onesimus in exactly the same way. I want you to receive Onesimus as you would have received me. When Onesimus comes, I want you to be thrilled, Philemon. I want you to have a smile on your face. I want you to have tears running down your cheeks. I want you to run to Philemon as the father in the prodigal son ran to his son. And I want you to throw your arms around him and welcome him and say to him, Onesimus, my brother in Christ, I'm so thrilled to see you. You've been away from me and I've missed you. And I've been wondering where you've been. And here you are, my precious, precious brother in Christ. Welcome back. So this is how I want you to receive me. Isn't that incredible? And what it says is that in God's family, there aren't two levels of relationship. You know, there isn't Paul and Philemon a certain level of relationship where when Paul turns up, Philemon hugs him, thrilled, tears running down his cheek. Welcome, brother. Lovely to see you. Wonderful, wonderful. When Onesimus turns up, well, it's good you become a Christian. I'm so thrilled you become a Christian. Now don't run away again, will you? We don't want those two levels of relationship, is what Paul is saying here, isn't he? You see what Paul is saying? Paul is saying, Philemon, in God's kingdom, we don't have two levels of relationship, that we are thrilled to see some people, we're overjoyed to see some people, we receive some people with joy, with tears running down our cheeks, and we're absolutely delighted to see them, we hug them. And other people, yeah, they're brothers in the Lord, of course they are. And yes, of course, we're happy to see them. But, you know, there is something there between us and it has never been fully resolved. And I don't really want to go to the problem of to the bother of resolving it. And yes, as their brother, but it's not exactly the same relationship. No. Paul is saying to Philemon, your relationship with Onesimus should be exactly the same as your relationship to me. Receive him as you would receive me. That's what he's saying. This is a huge challenge. This is, I don't know if you've ever thought about this. This, I think, is one of the most challenging verses in the whole Bible. Isn't it? Because we find it easy to operate with others in Christ's kingdom at two levels. I find it easy to operate at two levels. I think we all do. I don't think I'm unique in this. I love meeting some people and, you know, talking to them and so on. And forgive me, may the Lord forgive me. There have been times when I've thought, yeah, that person is a brother or a sister in the Lord. But forgive me, Lord, for saying this. I don't think my relationship has been ever been at that level. And as I've studied this, I've repented and I've said to myself, you don't do that, Sukkeh. Philemon, you receive Onesimus as you would have received me. Your relationship with Onesimus should be on the same level as your relationship with me, says Paul. Very challenging, very challenging. And it is saying we shouldn't have different levels of relationship. Now, I think when we unpack this, there's no question that some people will just be naturally closer friends than others. I don't have a problem with that. Three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, were closer to him than the others. And that's happened with Jesus. Because that's human. So, I will have some people who are closer friends than others. But we're not talking about friendship here. We're talking about our relationship in the Lord. If I see a Christian walking down the street, do I have something in my heart? My relationship with this person isn't absolutely 5-star, and I don't really want to go through all the bother of it. I will greet them, but there is something there. This is what that is addressing. And this is saying no. I may not be the best of friends with that person, but my relationship should be absolutely as it would be with any other Christian. This is the nature of reconciliation. We must be totally reconciled to every Christian. And to hold anything back is wrong before God. What a remarkably challenging verse this is. Paul says, if you consider me your partner, your equal is what that means. Receive Onesimus as you would receive me. You see what a challenge that is. So that's the first thing we see here, the nature of reconciliation. Nothing held back, all forgiven, all put back, all put away and buried, and brothers wholeheartedly in the Lord. Secondly, the cost of reconciliation, the cost of reconciliation. Onesimus quite obviously ran away with some property of Philemon, possibly money, most likely money. And he has obviously used up that money, used it up in his fare to get to Rome and living in Rome, eating and so on. He's obviously used up that money. And Philemon is now out of pocket. Now you notice Paul doesn't just sweep this under the carpet. Paul doesn't say in this letter, well, I know Philemon, he ran away with your money, but for goodness sake, you're a rich man. I mean, it wasn't as if he took away thousands. I mean, it was just a few quid. Come on, forget. He doesn't do that. Verse 18, a very serious verse, and he's being totally serious here. He says, if he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. Paul says, I recognize that you have suffered loss and you should be repaid. You've suffered loss and that loss has to be repaid. So he says to Philemon, I'm not just going to assume that you're just going to stand that loss. You're just going to, forget about it. And he says to Philemon, look, you may feel, I don't want to suffer that loss. I don't want to be out of pocket. You may feel, and that's legitimate. He doesn't say to Philemon, well, you're a mean Christian. He doesn't say this as well. You don't want to suffer loss. I fully accept that. I will repay you, Paul says. So you see, Paul recognizes that there has been a loss. There has been a cost. He recognizes that. And this is something I think we have to keep in mind, that when brothers fall out, when there is a problem between Christians, there is always a loss. Now, it may not be a material loss. It may not be financial or in goods, but there is always a cost. There's always a loss. You know, you know what I'm saying, don't you? You know somebody in church, and you've known them since you were in your 20s, or they were in their 20s, and you worked together in a local church, and it's been a joyful partnership. And then, after many years, sometimes after many decades, upsets. And that person leaves. Perhaps there's a church split. Very, very painful. That person leaves. Is there not a loss? Is there not a hurt in your heart? Is there not a hurt in their heart? Of course there is. Every fracture between Christians will always bring deep, deep sadness. It must do. Otherwise, there never was genuine fellowship in the first place. This is how the Christian faith works. You become a Christian and you become very close to other people. That's perfectly right. That's how it should be. We should become close to other people. Other people should become precious to us, close to us. We should have them in our hearts. We should love them deeply. We should. This is Christianity. To be a Christian and not to love others deeply from the heart, that's something wrong. And this is what happens, particularly in a local church. You know, you become a member of a local church, others become members of a local church, and we have a deep love relationship. That's how it should be. That's a local church. A local church is where God's people love the Lord and love each other. And so you commit yourself to that person. You invest yourself in that person. You invest love in that person. And you sacrifice for that person and so on. And a love relationship develops. Then something goes wrong. And they leave. Well, of course that's going to happen. And when reconciliation happens, it's got to be faced up. This is what's happening here. You see, Paul doesn't sweep it under the carpet. Paul doesn't just say, well, of course, you know, Philemon, yes, I know you ran away with your money, but come on, forget about it. He doesn't say that. He acknowledges that Philemon suffered loss. And in reconciliation, we always have to acknowledge this. And if I have been hurt, I have to speak. And if the other person has been hurt, they have to speak. You know, if I've had a fallout with another Christian and somebody says, now look, you guys used to be close together, used to work well together, and I can now see that things are not as they should be. Now, come on, let's put things right. In that meeting, I should speak and I should say, I must say this, I was really badly hurt. I felt really hurt. I felt betrayed and I felt this. I should speak. And that other person should speak and they should say, well, Sukesh, you did things that hurt me. You said things that hurt me. You behaved in a way that hurt me. There should be a full and a frank openness. Not for the sake of it, but so that things can be put right properly. Because once we've aired our griefs, I can then say, look, I'm really, really sorry that you were hurt. In the way, I had no idea my words had hurt you. I can see now I spoke in an insensitive way. I can see that now. And I can see I behaved in ways that were, I couldn't see it at the time. But I can now see I behaved in a way that was hurtful and I was wrong in that. And they should say, well, I can see that my words hurt you, my actions hurt you. And there should be a reconciliation with the full airing of everything. I know this is difficult, and I know we as Christians naturally shy away from, we don't want to do this. But there's a problem there. If we don't air things, they don't disappear. They remain there. And as I've said before, the human is like a volcano. And you know what happens in a volcano when it has been blocked? And that volcano is rumbling away and pressure is building up and pressure is building up and pressure is building up. That's what happens in the human heart. The human heart is like that. The human heart, you know, and people, they ponder over things and they go over things and they replay scenes, and they go back over the last conversation and the conversation before that, and the email that you wrote and the email that this other person, and they go over this and they mull over it. In the middle of the night, they wake up and they mull over, and the heart feels more and more hurt, more and more hurt. I've been in a church where people spoke about nothing but how much their previous church had hurt them. And it's one of the most frightening things I've ever been in. I remember in a meeting, we were sitting there. It was Christian fellowship. We'd gathered together for Christian fellowship. And in my naivety, I thought we would talk about the Lord. It was actually Sunday evening. And I thought we would be talking about the Lord and how God had blessed us and how we had met with the Lord and the singing and so on. And very short time, 5-10 minutes, the conversation turned to a church that they had belonged to and how that church had hurt them. And it just went on and on and on and on. Now, this wasn't something that had happened a few months earlier, or 5 years, or 10 years, or 15 years. It was longer than that. Hurts were still there, and they were talking about those hurts, and talking about those hurts, and talking about those hurts. Because they'd never been dealt with properly. Well, we can't have that. And Paul here, it's an awkward thing to bring up. You know, Onesimus ran away with money. It's an awkward thing to bring up, but Paul knows it has to be brought up. So Paul brings it up. Paul says it's got to be aired. What he doesn't want is Paul saying to Philemon, receive him as you would receive me, and doesn't mention the loss. Because Philemon might keep that loss in his heart. You see, Philemon might say, well, it's all very well for Paul to say, receive him as you would receive me. But what about my money that he ran away with? And Philemon then would have it in his heart. And Philemon might welcome Onesimus because Paul has commanded him to welcome Onesimus. So Philemon would welcome Onesimus. But you know how these things are. Well, he did run away with my money. And he'd never apologized for it. And I've never had any offer to repay back. And these things build up. And his relationship with Onesimus would never be right. It's never been established correctly. And Paul knows it. So Paul brings it up. Difficult issue to bring up. But Paul brings it up. If he has wronged you at all, owes you anything, I'm conscious of these things. You're perfectly right, perfectly just to ask for repayment. You're not wrong in asking for repayment. You're not being tight-fisted. You're not being mean. It's justice. I will repay you. Because Paul recognizes these things have to be aired. So the nature of reconciliation, with everybody equally, we love everybody equally. We may have closer friendships with some than others. That is not wrong. Jesus even had that. But we must never have anything in our heart against somebody. We must never treat people because there is something there that has never been resolved. No. And the cost. Let's air it. Let's talk it out. Let's deal with it. And then forgive and it's gone. That's what Paul is asking Philemon to do here. Well, may God help us to take these lessons. I'll come back to it next week, and there are some more lessons in this passage, but those are at least something to start off with.